Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mass discuss.
So this started out as four teams. Those are the reports over the weekend. Denver and Arizona were the other two. So I looked at that list and said, if you're Kirk Cousins, after the battle you have gone through, the Washington Redskins, to become a free agent, you're going to get out on the market now and you're going to pick Arizona or the Jets? That's what you're going to pick? It has to be Denver or Minnesota. Now it's down to Minnesota and the Jets. And I keep asking myself the same question. Why are the Jets in it? And who was it? Bedard? Who said this when he was in it? Greg Bedard of Sports Illustrated? Or maybe it was Chris Gasper of the Globe. One of them said that Cousins is one of these guys that likes the idea of being the savior of the franchise. What are you, an idiot? Like, no. Minnesota's the obvious choice now. They've got everything you want. They've got a defense. They've got receivers and pass catchers up the yin-yang between Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph. They've got the running back, the kid Dalvin Cook, who was terrific before he got hurt. If there's any team that can unseat the Eagles right now in the NFC, to me, it's either them or the Saints. It's one of those two. And you're going to pick the Jets?
Well, that's because the Jets, according to Pro Football Talk, are willing to give him a guaranteed contract, which if that's the case, he gets $30 million guaranteed for how many ever years they're going to give him to him. I can't blame him. Okay. And that was a frisky team. I know they suck and it's the Jets and they went 5-11, but if he went there, 9-7, 10-6 would be on the table.
Yeah, and you'll still lose. You'll get $30 million and your team will suck. So, isn't it? I just think that the thing that really distinguishes quarterbacks is not how much money they make. It's the Super Bowls. If you win, you'll get your money. What are you worried about? And he's made a ton the last couple of years in Washington anyway.
Two straight tags, right?
I mean, that's got to be over $40 million bucks, $40, $45 million guaranteed that he's already socked away, and he'll get another truckload of guaranteed money in this deal. It's a no-brainer, pal. Vikings, the Jets, you're going to pick the Jets as a free agent? Are you stupid?
Again, fully guaranteed contract. Never happened. If he sets a precedent there, I get it. It's the Jets. It's as big of a loser franchise as there is in sports. But that, I mean, if they're that dumb to give him a guaranteed contract, how can you not at least listen?
If they're that dumb to give him a guaranteed contract, Murray, he's dumber to take it. That's what I would say. Dumb. Absolutely, colossally stupid. The last thing you do as a quarterback, if you're half decent, is go to a team that has Jack. No, Vikings. If he picks the Jets, loser. You're a loser.
Okay, we've got that on the table. We got the Wilder fight on the table. Yeah, we're talking about that. Bruins, their injury issues. Celtics, their loss Saturday night. Al Horford, Kyrie Irving out the next two. Does that concern you?
No.
Yeah, it does to me.
Okay. Not me.
Big Jim Murray over there.
Well, he was banged up before the All-Star break, and you saw how important he is to this team and their offense. And if he's banged up, I mean, who are you going to rely on your offense?
It's over.
Please.
Yeah,
they're screwed.
Yeah.
So that's something that's got me a little bit worried.
It's just a maintenance situation. We played to the last second the other night. I mean, doesn't that tell you something if he played all game, the last game?
No, I don't look at it as a maintenance thing. They've had a couple of days off here now, essentially, since that game on Saturday night.
Oh, to me, it's totally maintenance. They've done this with him a couple of times now.
Maintenance. You got the Bulls.
Yeah, they're just giving him a blow. He's fine.
Okay, that's what I think.
Scheduled loss tonight against the Bulls, by the way.
Well, last time they held him out against the Bulls, they lost by 20-something. The only thing to keep an eye on, again, Cleveland's done. I'm not worried about them. And I think you got Toronto, too, unless it's Game 7 in Toronto. So just don't be giving away too many games. I wouldn't want, again, Game 7 in Toronto, I pay attention to that. So all that stuff on the board with your calls. Here we go, right back to it. Kevin and Everett on Kobe Bryant's Oscar last night. I can't help you with this, Kevin, but go ahead. Not
good.
There?
Good. He's not there.
I don't even want to talk about that.
He got one for like a short film or something.
Okay, neat. Here's Mike in the car on the fight on Saturday. Hi, Mike.
Hey, boys. I just got to say, I love that we're talking boxing. You guys do touch on it on big fights, but I love that it's on the table. But I'll go like this. I do follow boxing, and I always have. So as good as Wilder is, which he's really not even good, he's just athletic and strong and explosive, Anthony Joshua is going to systematically pick that guy apart. It's really not even going to be a close fight. When you get into those higher levels like that, of course they're undefeated because their records are manufactured. I mean, they got managers that make sure they're taking tomato cans for their first 20 fights to even be relevant. So So,
Mike, you know what? Which is all fine with me. That's probably the way
right.
it should be.
Right. No, I agree with you. Let him get to that level. But now, while they're calling himself the baddest man on the planet, I don't know if you watched any Anthony Joshua fight Klitschko over the summer. That fight was fantastic, Mike. If you like fights like the Wilder Ortiz fight, go watch that Joshua Klitschko fight because that was a fantastic fight.
We were just watching it. Mass just queued it up for me on his computer, and we were watching it.
I mean, the uppercut that Joshua hit Klitschko with in that fight is like ungodly. I don't know how Klitschko's head stayed on.
Okay, so look. And it looks like over there, I mean in Europe, where Klitschko did a lot of his fighting and Joshua fights primarily, it looks like they're real boxers. Like, Klitschko is a technical fighter. He's like a real fighter. This Deontay Wilder is just like Haymaker City, man. Like, he's all over the place. He's gangly. It's like he's throwing from the outside. I don't know how you generate any power there, and I feel like he's opened up just to get hit right on the button by someone who's inside of him. Like, I don't know what kind of boxer he is. I don't care. It's like I get a contrast in styles. You get a Brit who's a boxer. You get an American who's a brawler. They both knock everybody out. Even if Joshua is going to be heavily favored and should win, I know that if Wilder just hits him with one shot, that's going to be enough. Where if I'm talking about these 157, these smaller weight classes, it doesn't matter if you hit the guy in the button or not. He's not going anywhere. You're not going to put someone down at that size. It doesn't feel like they do nowadays anyway. And so that's why I'm into this. And the American is mouthy. Yap, 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 yap. I'm the chosen one. My grandma told me
I'm anointed one.
I'm the second coming. Hey, no one who's ever stepped in the ring I haven't put on their ass.
I told you, ever since Billy started talking about these guys, I don't know when it was, a year ago, whenever it was, to me, I've sort of started to follow it a little bit, not a ton, and I'm a boxing novice relatively, although like you, I watched it as a kid, and, you know, I mean, I've seen enough guys fight to know who has sort of a game and who doesn't, and this Wilder guy has no boxing skill whatsoever. He's gangly all over the place, but he is fast. His hands are really fast, and he's got power. Joshua, I feel like the caller does. To me, it feels like if Anthony Joshua fights Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua will pick him apart. And he's every bit as big and every bit as strong. He's just not quite as brutal. And so the X factor with Wilder is that he fights crazy. And so the crazy fighter, nobody wants to fight that guy. Who wants to fight that guy?
Oh, I just, you know, the thing on Saturday night is what I want boxing to be. Just haymakers. Throwing from the hip, guys going down, the ref probably irresponsibly letting it go on a little bit longer than it should, guys on his knees, spitting on the canvas. Like, that's why I watch boxing.
I mean, Luis Ortiz had him earlier in that fight, and I went back and watched the end of that seventh round when he got hurt, when Wilder got hurt by Ortiz, and the caller was right. He never actually hit the canvas, but he was out of it, man, and he was out of it in the eighth. And, you know, the other thing is watch him fight. Watch where his hands are the whole time. They're down here. They're down by his midsection. He leaves his head exposed the whole time. Anybody with you know, reasonably fast hands and a little skill will take his head off.
Here's Alex in Plainville on the South. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to see what you guys thought about Daniel Tyson, how he hasn't been playing the last couple games, and if he could have had any impact on the Rockets game.
Okay, Daniel Tyson. We're down to Daniel Tyson, which I just think is missing the mark. It's not about Daniel Tyson. It's not about Kelly Olynyk. It's not about Jay Crowder. It's not about Terry Rozier. It's not about Jonas Jerebko. It's not about... Y'all love to talk about your peripheral players here on the Celtics, and it's just they're interchangeable. They're not... It's not about them. It's about Kyrie, Horford, and his...
Jaylen Brown going nine points
right,
in another big game.
And are Brown and Tatum going to step up and be a legit third guy? It does... Tice will flash, Monroe will flash, Morris will flash, but then they'll recede and you won't see him for a week. Like, it's just, this happens with these guys, but why do we focus so much time on him?
No, please, forget Tice.
And I actually like the kid with the t-shirt, as you refer to him so affectionately, Mike, but Saturday night was about Kyrie going 6-for-17 or whatever it was, Horford being non-existent, and Jaylen Brown coming up small in another big game. It was about those guys.
See, and yet they scored what? Did they get 120? Did they finish at that? It was right about that, right? 122-120 or something?
Oh, the bench was ridiculous.
I mean, but they had plenty of points. They had plenty of points. And so I just think, and they had the game. They had it. Now, you're going to play a high-scoring game against Houston anyway. But they just made some bad decisions at the end. That's it. They had the game.
We've got Danny and Natick with the Patriots draft thought. Hi, Dan.
Hi. So I was wondering, I was watching some of the linebackers going at the NFL Combine, And I was wondering at your thoughts on the Central Florida linebacker, Shaquem Griffin. He ran a 4.38 40-yard dash, and which was the fastest at the combine since, like, what, 2006, 2003. And he performed 20 reps. I mean, when you think about the need for the Patriots for a linebacker.
And again, Danny, stop. This is a kid with one hand.
Yes, this is the kid with one hand.
And so, yes, he's been a combine warrior. A great story to boot. You just can't help but, like, root for the guy.
Sure.
I have no idea about his draft position. You know, I saw something flash up on one of these shows here we're watching where should he be taken in the first round? Like, so he's, I asked before, is he even going to be drafted? Apparently he is, and he might even be a consideration for higher up in the draft, which, great. You know, I think you can't help but root for the kid. Tremendous. I wonder how much, you know, would you feel good if the Patriots used a second round pick on him?
And I'm just reading Albert Breer here on, you know, MMQB saying that he's talked to scouts this weekend and said that he's probably going to be around like a fourth rounder, even though he had a ridiculous, you know.
Okay, let's say the Patriots drafted him in the third or fourth round.
Sure.
Fine. They need linebacker help.
He has one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm in.
I mean, from a personal level, how can you not root for it?
Like, no, I'm in.
I want them to draft the kid because I want the kid to succeed and, like, I'm rooting for the kid. The one-hand thing doesn't scare you?
No, he couldn't be any worse than Eric Lee or Kyle Van Noy or any other guys you just saw 4 weeks ago.
Kimmy Shaquem Griffin with one hand versus Kyle Van Noy with two any day of the week?
You could give a Landon Roberts eight arms, for crying out loud. I'll still take this kid. Like, seriously, with the way this kid plays, you know, the will that this kid has and the speed and everything else, I'll take a chance. I'll take a chance on him. I look, the rapping thing is significant, right? Hell, with the JPP, when he lost the thumb, that was a big deal unto itself.
It's really more wrapping up than catching the football.
So I'm not worried about the catching of the football because realistically, how many linebackers have that great of hands anyway?
How many opportunities are you getting?
Yeah,
five a year?
I don't worry about that part of it. The rapping thing is but I honestly get the sense with this kid, he's learned how to deal with it. Like, you know, we think of it as a huge problem because we've never had to function without two hands, most of us. This kid's been doing his, like, how did Jim Abbott pitch in the big leagues with one hand? He pitched a no-hitter, for crying out loud. I take a shot. I would. If the kid can play, I'm in, man. I'm in.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just want to say on behalf of all the football fans out there, you guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you
really do. This is a tremendous production. And, you know, Mike, I know how hard it is to do a draft board for one team, and that's hard. You're doing it for 32 teams, as well as knowing what all the teams are looking for and who their players are, and you know, putting it all together for us. And you guys do an awesome job. I can't tell you how much information you know, you guys put out there to the fans, and I would say the league, but me and that group too. You know, in the time that you guys do this over this weekend, so you guys do a tremendous job.
Absolute tongue bath, Bill. Right to Rich Eisen and Mike Mayock and Deion Sanders, called him Prime. So my little takeaway from that is just Bill trying to grease some national guys because he knows he's been getting some heavy coverage and he's going to get some heavy coverage. And, you know, he made a big donation to Rich Eisen's charity today and he sucked up to all those guys on the set. And, you know, Mayock's been his guy for a long time. But I just think it's smart by Bill. He's playing the media game. Next time Rich Eisen has to talk about the Malcolm Butler decision, he ain't going to rip Bill. And next time Rich Eisen is even anchoring a roundtable and it gets to be critical on Bill Belichick, Rich Eisen's not going to let it go too far. And Bill saw to that today. But, oh my God, just the guffawing Bill did over these guys. Just unreal. It's like you never say anything like it.
You think he would talk like that about us behind the scenes?
He's going to. So this is another thing. Like, when he comes back and does his first local media availability, he's going to snort and flick a booger at you. He knows these guys aren't going to ask about Malcolm Butler. He comes home, we're going to have to ask about Malcolm Butler.
We're on to 2018.
Listen,
we're
Jimmy.
On to 2018.
Jimmy, play the follow-up cut. Listen to this ass-kissing he does to the NFL Network.
A couple times.
Sorry, go.
This week where, you know, I haven't been able to watch this. And, that I've been able to, you know, follow it on TV. And honestly, you don't really miss anything. I mean, there was a time when these broadcasts had, you know, specials, and then you cut away and you miss a whole drill or half the 40 or whatever. I mean, now it's, you know, virtually see every guy do everything. And it's, I mean, it's great. It's really, you guys do a great job. And again, you know, it's and the guys that you're working with, you know, I hear them saying, well, you need to go back and watch this game against Auburn, and you go back and watch this game against Elsie, you know, and no, that's great information, because you don't always get to do that. And like I said, with, you know, the depth that you cover this event and cover the college draft, and the way you put it together with, like, what teams need and how these players fit differently from team to team based on their skill set, you know, it's really great. A lot of insight.
Oh, it was just on and on.
He snowed him too, didn't he? Again, like, it's one thing to say you're trying to curry favor in the future, but at the same time, if you spend the whole time talking about them, they can't ask you anything. They can't ask you about Butler. They can't ask you about Gronk. They can't ask you anything.
Hell no. And again, the next time these guys got to go deep on Bill, they ain't going to. Eisen never will. And I don't blame him. Again, Bill made a big donation to Rich's charity today. And that's, you know, good for Bill and good for Rich and all that. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's just, it's, well, you treat people well and you get treated well in return, Bill. Like, even you understand that at some point. These guys, by the end, they're eating out of the palm of his hand. Oh, coach, we just love you here.
Coach, I think we could do this for a couple hours. This is pretty good,
hey,
man.
Coach is awesome, man. He is awesome.
Dion, you did a great job. I love Mondays when you're here to do the DBs and you do the, you know, inside into the corners. Mike does the safeties, and, you know, you guys go back and forth. It's really, it's great TV.
Oh, God, that was a line that got me. Great TV. Give me a break. Since when does Bill Belichick give two farts about good TV?
Oh, yeah, all of a sudden he's Aaron Spelling.
It's like, that's good.
Who needs Homeland when you got you guys, NFL Network?
Oh, my God, the ass-kissing. So anyway, again, I just think that's Bill actually being smart.
I mean, did they ask him any football questions at all?
No.
Anything? Like, what's the latest with Gronk?
No, nothing. Nope.
Oh, see, they went for it. He disarmed him, and they went for it.
Okay, back to call. Stephen Carver. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, do you remember late in the game on Saturday night for the Celtics when Marcus Smart fell to the ground, grabbed his leg, and nobody ran out there to help him, and Ben Gundy and Mark Jackson on the broadcast were perplexed? Do you remember that?
I do remember when he fell down. I didn't pay much attention to the fact that no one went out there to help him.
It's not talked about, but no one really went out there to help him. And it just speaks to the fraudulence of Marcus Smart. Even his own team knows how big of a flobber he is, where they know he didn't tear his ACL. He was writhing in pain on the ground. And Van Gundy and Mark Jackson were ripping the Celtics for not sending anybody out there. But the Celtics knew he was flopping because 2 minutes later he was playing.
Good job, of course.
Well, that's because they're not well-versed in the team. They don't watch him night to night, and they don't know that he has a reputation of doing this. I got caught up in it, too, and shame on me, because I know what he's done before in the past. When it comes to these kind of things, he went down. It looked, the way he was writhing around, it was like, oh, my God, he blew out his knee. You've got to be kidding me. He just came back. No, just a cramp. Just a cramp. They rubbed it out. He was fine.
Oh, to me, it was nothing from the beginning. I knew right away. The ball was down the other end of the floor, and I'm like, why is he laying on the ground? Get up. It's not that bad. He, you know, get your ass up off the floor.
Oh,
and get
the
down
agony! Oh, God! Oh, I've blown up. No, just a cramp.
That said, not even nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, he does make little plays though that help you win games.
Of course, he does.
He does it every game.
Alex in Scituate on Kirk Cousins. Hi, Alex.
Hey guys, I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins fan. Obviously, I'm New England Brady homer, but something Tony said really got to me, and he called Kirk Cousins a loser, and I cannot fall in on the hypocrisy in that Kirk Cousins was basically faced with every obstacle known to man in the Redskins, this crappy organization, trading the farm for someone else, giving that someone else every opportunity to succeed. Kirk Cousins battled him, beat him time and time again. They didn't want to extend him. He still battled, still competed, and now he's being a free agent, and he's going to take the lesser of the options that are given to him. Look at LeBron, look at KD, who just took the easy championship, and now you have a guy that's not going to go to Minnesota for the easy championship, because Tony...
Well, hold on, there is no easy championship.
Yeah, let's not compare football and the NBA.
But just that whole premise of going to a team that's a bigger challenge, how does that make him a loser?
Because I think that you're taking the money. That's what I think it is. It's a money grab, as opposed to a competitive grab. Like, I look at the Vikings are going to give him plenty of money. Everyone knows what the guy's going to make on the market. Why the hell would you choose the Jets over the Vikings? Why would you do that? No way. Not in a million years. No. Like, to me, that one's easy. You're going to get a boatload of money no matter what you do.
Anthony in Worcester on the Seas. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, quick thing on Saturday night. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but the Celtics in the fourth quarter, they had their first team foul with 4 minutes to go. And I feel like Brad mismanaged the whole foul situation. Like, he could have used them on fast breaks during the 4 minutes and just did a little differently. I just didn't know if you guys, looked
at
that.
Okay, so I just caught the very, very end, but did you notice that?
Yeah, there was the Ariza steal where they had, I think at that point, they had one to give. And if someone, blasted down as fast as they could just to foul them, they had one there. That was one that was like, what are you doing? That, it's easy to second guess it. But at the time, it's like, oh, you have a foul to give here. Why didn't you use it then when they absolutely could have used it?
Yeah, I didn't notice it. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
It doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know why the clock kept ticking away, but there it is. A minute left. Right uppercut, and it's over. Mamma mia, Deontay Wilder has done it.
He is the winner by way of technical knockout, and still the undefeated WBC heavyweight champion of the world.
Is it dramatic and entertaining? Deontay Wilder, now 40-0.
We went to, we forced the company to send us to Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Vegas.
And we talked a fair amount about Mayweather-McGregor. And so we engage in these fights, and we've kind of gotten caught up a little bit in the heavyweight thing, which the sport desperately needs, which is what it's lacking. Because let's face it, all those Mayweather promotions are almost always disappointments. No one gets hurt. No one goes down. The fights aren't entertaining. It's just, it's a letdown every time. Deontay Wilder, American-born, 40-0, 39 knockouts, and he's worth the price of admission. I don't know if he can box. I don't think he can. But you know what?
That's he can't.
You know what? That's perfect, because I'm not a boxing fan. I don't care about the sweet science and the technique. I want a fight.
No, a fight. That's exactly right. You want a fight.
I'm a fight fan. I'm not a boxing fan. I'm a fight fan. And I miss the days of the big promotions and the big fights. And really, when you boil down to it, the big heavyweight fights. The heavyweight division, it's true. The sport, it begins and ends. It's the heartbeat of the sport. It's the heavyweight division. It's the heavyweight champion of the world. That's what defines the sport. And maybe that's why the sport's been off the map for a decade, because they haven't had it. And now I think they have something to latch on to with this Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua in Britain, both of whom are in great shape, undefeated, and they knock everybody out.
They were combined 60-0 with 59 knockouts.
Thank you. Combined, they're 60-0. 59 of those 60 fights ended in knockout. So you don't have to worry about the judges. You don't have to worry about the points. You don't have to worry about who won what round. Someone's going down, and someone's going down hard. The thing on Saturday, this is that fight, that highlight was from Saturday night, Deontay Wilder against Luis Ortiz. Ortiz was supposed to fight Wilder twice before this, but both times Ortiz failed drug tests.
Which is awesome unto itself.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Does Wilder care? No. Just keep taking the test. Eventually, pal, you're going to pass it, and then we'll have our fight. And they have the fight, and Wilder's down. He's about to lose, and he knocks this guy's block off in the 10th round. And as tends to happen in the heavyweight division, thank God, the refs let it go a little bit longer than they probably should, or they just give, for some reason, the big guys, it feels like, are allowed to go down and get up, where, like, remember the McGregor-Mayweather fight? They stopped that thing way too early. They didn't, right. They didn't let McGregor catch his breath and try and come back. He just got in trouble, and they ended it. Like, what are you doing? Is that because it's lower weight class? I don't know, but the big guys, they tend to let get up and keep fighting. Maybe one too many times, which is what happened in this thing. But by the end of it, Ortiz is on the mat spitting all over the place with, seeing stars, which is what I want to see. And so, yeah, Wilder can't really box. He's all over the place. Fine. I don't care. When you get hit by him, you go down. That's all I want to see. And after the fight, again, this guy's priceless. He enters the ring with some sort of frakata mask kind of thing.
Like he's going to a masquerade ball, yeah.
He's got some sort of thing.
It's gold, yeah.
He's got some sort of get-up when he goes into the ring, which is one thing.
Like, yeah, that part I actually know from the last time you guys were talking about it. I think the mask has to do with this rapper, MF Doom. It looks exactly like the mask that this rapper wears.
Whatever that is,
yeah.
Perfect. Fine.
I mean, he does. He looks like one of the Aztecs.
And again, after the fight, he'll tell you that he's been anointed by God.
You know, a lot of people don't think that I can fight in the inside, but I had to surprise them and show them. My grandma told me a long time ago I was anointed by God, and it shows each and every time. Now I can say there's no man that stepped in the ring that I haven't put on their ass, baby.
My grandma told me I was anointed by God, and it shows each and every time.
I mean, doesn't every grandparent tell their kid that? You were anointed as a child.
By God. To which, of course, then you respond by putting every man who enters the ring on their ass.
My goal is to unify, and I'm ready whenever those guys are. It seems like they ain't in no rush to fight me because I am the most dangerous man in the world. I am the most baddest man on the planet, and I prove that tonight. This solidified my position at the top of the food chain, and soon there will be one champion, one face, one name, and he go by the name of Deontay Wilder.
And then he'll chirp the Joshua who he thinks has been ducking him. And they have. Like the guys. So Joshua just fights in Britain for the most part, in Europe for the most part. And they've sort of been ducking Wilder. And he's been calling him out and out and out. Do you remember what Wilder did after the last fight that we watched?
No.
So the last fight that we watched, he fought a fill-in for Ortiz because Ortiz failed his drug test, as I just told you. So they found a guy. I can't remember his name. What was his name, Billy? This guy had no business in the ring. He was like 40 pounds overweight. He was just a butterball. And Wilder kicked the crap out of him. What was that guy's name? Whatever. And then after the fight, Deontay Wilder starts calling out Anthony Joseph. Do you have those cuts, Jimmy?
What do you do now to entice and somehow get Anthony Joshua into the ring so that the fans can see what they want to see and you can get the fight that you want so desperately?
You know, I've been waiting on that fight for a long time now. Me versus A Juice and Jay. Listen, mate. I declare war upon you. Do you accept my challenge? Or are you still gonna squat as you? I've been waiting for a long time, baby. I know I'm the champion. I know I'm the best. Is you up for the test?
See, he wants to rhyme and like, but he's not. There's just something a little off there. He's been hitting the head quite a bit. I don't care. The guy's fun to listen to. He's funny. And when he hits you, you go down. That's all I care about. And he's never lost. And now they're going to fight. You know, hopefully, so the Brit, this Anthony Joshua, who's 20-0 and does know how to box.
He's a monster.
Is fighting one more time. He's fighting March 31st.
Against a Kiwi.
A New Zealander who's 20-0. Like, how we've never heard of these undefeated.
26-0, I think.
26-0.
Joe Parker.
Okay. So, if Anthony Joshua.
He lives right around the corner.
It's my mailman. If Anthony Joshua beats
Smoking Joe Parker,
they should dress that up a little bit somehow. You're right. If Anthony Joshua beats
Kiwi Joe,
and it should be Wilder and Joshua for the heavyweight championship sometimes in the summer or the fall. And that should be a real deal. That should be a real thing. Someone's going to get hurt. This isn't going to be a Mayweather thing where they tap dance for 12 rounds and you go to the cards. No. Someone's going, especially
it's guaranteed violence.
Especially because Wilder can't really box, and so he for sure is going down for sure. The only question is, does Wilder get a shot in there to Joshua to sort of knock him back and make it a fight? And then afterwards, there's going to be some trash talk. Like, give me more Wilder, please.
Now let's get back to Joshua for just a moment. His promoter Eddie Hearn says you should come over and fight Dylan White. Will you do that if that's what it takes to get a fight with Joshua?
The thing about it, a king don't chase a peasant.
Huh?
King chase kings. I want Joshua.
Does that mean you won't have another fight until it's Anthony Joshua? And what's the plan if he doesn't give you that fight?
If he don't give me that fight, then we got other plans, other routes that we have.
Just stop
you
a
know.
Second. This was after, the other plan was to just wait for the Ortiz guy to finally pass his drug test. Would you pass the test already? Drink some tea. Whatever it takes, dude. Can we get the fight?
Yeah, it looks to me like he didn't. I don't think he's terribly discerning when it comes to what he eats or drinks.
No.
Luis Ortiz.
I mean, Wilder didn't care if the guy's on drugs. Just pass your test. As soon as he passed the test, they got the fight.
Hey, that guy should have won this fight, too.
Go. Keep going, Jimmy.
If he don't give me that fight, then we got other plans, other routes that we have. You know, they trying to give me a peasant, as in Dylan White, but they don't want to put Joshua on that contract. Why should I go to England to fight a peasant without the king on the contract? You know, king don't chase peasants, like I said. You know, we throw lettuce at him and spoiled tomatoes at him. He can eat that. But the world want Joshua.
All right, well,
the
let
world
me,
want Wilder.
All right, let me
I
ask
want
you.
Joshua. Joshua, come and see me, baby.
Well,
no
if
more
he doesn't...
hiding, no more ducking, no more dodging, no more excuses. Let's make the fight happen. Let's see who's the best. I know I'm the best. Are you up for the test?
Amateur rhymer.
He does have mic skills, though. He's very entertaining.
Yes. So, like, this is a no-brainer. Like, this... So, I was happy to see an actual boxing match on Saturday that someone went down and someone got hurt, and maybe we got more coming up. And you've all wanted to talk about it all day. Howard in Burlington. Go ahead, Howard.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good afternoon.
Go.
Hey, Mike. I'm not going to try to convince you to be a boxing fan. I have a lot of inside to the world. My girlfriend's dad was Adonis Stevenson's cut man. He's the light heavyweight champion of the world until he was paralyzed from the neck down in October 16th of 2016. His name is Bob Miller. And so the heavyweight division, it's a wild division. I think Wilder and Joshua would be a great fight. Ortiz is a lefty, so he had a little bit of trouble with the jab. But Wilder's got a decent jab, and I've seen him. And the guy that you were talking about, I think it was the last, that tomato can that you were talking about Wilder, his name is Stavern.
Berman Stavern, yes.
Yeah, Berman Stavern, right. So, but the thing I wanted to say is, Mike, there's some great boxers out there in the light heavy, Adonis Stevenson.
I know, Howard, can I stop you? You guys have been telling me about these lower weight classes now for years, and every time I tune into a fight, no one gets hurt. Every time. And the last time I took the cheese was the Canelo Alvarez, who just failed it. Didn't Canelo Alvarez just fail a drug test?
Yeah, I think TMZ posted about this today. From eating
Billy
bad
says
meat,
yes.
Beaten, I think eating bad meat or something
no,
like
no,
that.
No, Canelo failed a PED test and said it was about the Mexican cows.
Yeah.
Billy says yes.
He blamed the Mexican cows.
Yeah, because they're shot up with steroids.
Okay, so, like, which I don't care. When I saw him fight, he didn't hurt the other guy. So I don't get on more steroids, dude. I don't
okay,
care.
So when you say someone get hurt, you mean
go
someone
down.
Get knocked down or knocked out.
I need to see knockdowns and knockouts. Yeah. I need to see knockdowns and knockouts.
Someone get at least rubber-legged in the ring.
And all the boxing people say, oh, you got to watch this fight. You got to watch that fight. You got to watch this guy. He's fighting at 147, at 153, at 154. I'm like, what is that in the first place? But I'll watch it if someone's going to get hurt.
I mean, in all seriousness.
And no one ever goes down. So I'm done. Well, give me heavyweights.
What was the last heavyweight fight that actually was, you know, promoted and pumped and people went, ooh, I'll watch that. I mean, like, are we talking Tyson Holyfield?
No, I think, like, a Lennox Lewis, you know, didn't Lewis, like, who was the last heavyweight champion that you cared about?
Oh, God, probably, I mean, was Lewis after Tyson?
Yes.
I still didn't really give a rat's ass about that guy.
It was Tyson and then sort of went to Holyfield and Lennox Lewis and that was, like, the last little grouping of heavyweights that meant anything to anyone.
I mean, that was a long time ago.
It's like 20 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
These guys people should care about. Anthony and Medford. Go, Anthony.
Yeah, Mike, you're right. As the heavyweight division goes, so does boxing. I mean, some of the people that call about were right. I mean, he can't box. Don't get me wrong. But Luis Ortiz is no chump. He was a lefty. He beat him. The guy's got character. He's like a Akeem Talib extreme. He's fast. He's in great shape. And he was sick. He lost like 8 pounds. He only weighed 215. Ortiz weighed 245. He came down with the flu. And this would be a great fight, him and Joshua.
Okay, I don't think Ortiz was a tomato can at all.
No. He could fight. That guy knows how to fight.
He's a little heavy.
He's out of shape.
He's not exactly chiseled. And that's sort of what I like about Joshua and Wilder. Like, they are fit. Those are fit guys. It's not like some of these heavyweights get in there and they're gassed inside of 2 rounds and they're not in shape. And it's just like, Berman Stavern, he looked at that butter bean. You're like, dude, what? You know, how did you train for this fight?
No, Wilder's an athlete. There's no two ways about that. He's 6'7", and, you know.
So he's 6'7", and Joshua's 6'6".
6'6". Yep, and I checked the reaches, too. 83 inches and 82.
Ah!
You're within 6 feet of those guys. They're taking your head off.
Ed in Connecticut, go.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Mike. I'm listening to you guys talk about Deontay Wilder and the guy he just fought.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he has a history of being using marijuana, what have you. I'm going to bring you back a little bit in time and history, but Alexis Arguello fought Aaron Pryor in the middleweight title fight.
Yeah.
And Alexis Arguello was supposed to be Aaron Pryor. Aaron Pryor beat Alexis Arguello. And he was high on marijuana after that fight, and they took the title away from him. Remember that?
So?
My point being, see, now how can you justify one for the other, even though it's...
Because I just want to be entertained. I just want to be entertained. What do I need boxing to be clean? That's the last thing I need. I don't care if you're high as a kite.
Yeah, I don't remember those guys being middleweights either, but that's a different story.
It doesn't matter to me.
Even then, at that weight class, those guys used to hit each other. They did. They used to hit each
other. Right. When we were kids, the Hagler, Hearns, even, you know, Leonard was considered a Sally, right? Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, you go back and watch, there was far more action in those fights than it feels like today in those weight classes.
Well, no, and at least at the end of the day, you could say, you know, the Durant fight, Leonard knocked him out in the 14th round. Like, he did have to, you know, grind his way through that. Some of those fights, there were just way better fighters back then. You know, Leonard, Durant, Hagler, Hearns. He talked about Arguello and Pryor.
So those are the
lower... Boom Mancini. So like, there are a million of them.
Back in the day, you could get me to watch the lower weight classes because they were worth it. Now, I don't... You've talked me into a million different fights in those middle weight classes, and not one of them has delivered.
Mike, the fight that they've been angling toward... And again, I started paying attention to this more when Billy told us about it a while back. The fight that they're angling toward is Joshua Wilder. That's the one.
And I'm in, baby. I'm in. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blood force drama running right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats
Nobody.
Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, we got a couple of pieces of sound in the final word, but did want to plug the fact there is a new off-air show that we made today. It's up on the Felger and Mass Facebook page and on Twitter. I tweeted it out as well.
Yeah, let's just put to you like this.
Maz had a bad day.
Someone gets pummeled. Well, the J.R. Smith incident in Cleveland where someone got, well, he hucked a bowl of soup at somebody. We had a similar incident here inside the walls at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We did.
Okay, so someone gets pummeled with a bowl of soup. Let's just put it to you like that.
So go check it out. Felger and Maz Facebook page, and I tweeted it at Big Jim Murray. Maz did as well.
I just retweeted.
Speaking of meltdowns, guess who had one about technology again today?
Oh, this is so annoying.
Felgie.
Did you see him go into the boards before?
I did not, actually.
Okay, so this is so... I want to literally kill myself.
Oh, so I missed this.
Because I can't, I can't figure out technology and Twitter and all that stuff, so it can go F itself. But there's a clip, we played it on TV last night, analog, old-fashioned television. And I'm just yelling at myself at technology, because I so can't stand it. It makes me want to just kill something. But there's a clip out there, they showed it on Ness, and it's on social media, find it. We ran it on TV last night. Remember television, where you turn on, you actually just watch the television? We showed it on television a bunch last night. It's out there. Charlie crashed into the boards right before he engaged Gallagher in the corner. It had nothing to do with the Gallagher exchange in the corner. Nothing. Gallagher, it looked like from one angle, Gallagher chopped down on his foot. He didn't. The stick landed right before the skate, and then Charlie tumbled over it, but that really had nothing to do with it because Charlie came off the boards with his right leg, looking like a dead fish. An absolute dead fish. And Vin, or who's ever at NBC's Boston today on the simulcast, maybe you can just get a freeze frame picture of the 18 times we ran it last night on TV. So it's there. It's out there. I just can't find it because I suck. Okay. Oh, God, it's so frustrating.
It is.
It is so. Well, you can't, like, it's just. Like, usually at home, I'm just. Emma, come here. Emma, come here. That's my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter. Like, just come here, take this, do this, get this thing for me.
Remember television?
Do this.
That was my favorite line. Remember newspapers? Remember hieroglyphics? Remember papyrus?
But it's just like, you know, where's the clip? Oh, Kevin Paul Dupont tweeted it. Did he retweet it? Did he post it? I don't have... What happened to television? Yeah, you just ran the video on TV. There, you saw it. There it is. Channel 52 on TV. Simple enough.
852 high def.
And when you can't get it on your phone, it's like, I come in and I'm like, Stuart, just get it. Stuart, just get it. Well, Emma, come here. Take Emma.
High def, baby.
So Michael could have.
Do this.
When the rundown came out at 12:45,
I forgot.
Oh, by the way, can you find this video?
I forgot. It occurred to me on the way in.
Well, there was also
you ran it 18 times on TV. You had a 12-hour window there.
I forgot.
I know. I thought you were yelling at me. I'm like,
he was yelling at me on the air.
I'm like, I was yelling at the world.
That's how I took it. Non-contact injury.
Have you seen the video?
There was anger on behalf of Maz as well.
I didn't know there was video.
Didn't like how Kirk Cousins has any interest in the New York Jets and guaranteed money.
Maz has an issue with Kirk Cousins.
Cousins is one of these guys that likes the idea of being the savior of the franchise.
Loser.
What are you, an idiot? Like, no. Minnesota's the obvious choice now. They've got everything you want, and you're going to pick the Jets?
Well, that's because the Jets, according to Pro Football Talk, are willing to give him a guaranteed contract.
You'll get $30 million and your team will suck. So, isn't it? I just think that the thing that really distinguishes quarterbacks is not how much money they make. It's the Super Bowls. If you win, you'll get your money. What are you worried about? And he's made a ton the last couple of years in Washington anyway.
Two straight tags, right?
I mean, that's got to be over $40 million, $40, $45 million guaranteed that he's already socked away. And he'll get another truckload of guaranteed money in this deal. It's a no-brainer, pal. Vikings, the Jets, you're going to pick the Jets as a free agent? Are you stupid?
Again, fully guaranteed contract. Never happened. If he sets a precedent there, I get it. It's the Jets. It's as big of a loser franchise as there is in sports. But that, I mean, if they're that dumb to give him a guaranteed contract, how can you not at least listen?
If they're that dumb to give him a guaranteed contract, Murray, he's dumber to take it. That's what I would say. Dumb. Absolutely, colossally stupid. The last thing you do as a quarterback, if you're half decent, is go to a team that has Jack. No, Vikings. If he picks the Jets, loser. You're a loser.
Very encouraging.
A little strong, don't you think?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.